Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
From NBC News in Washington, the longest-running show in television history, this is a special edition of Meet the Press with Chuck Todd.
It sure is indeed a special edition of Meet the Press. It's 75 years in the making, this episode at least. You hear it every week. You just heard it just now. Meet the Press is the longest-running show in television history, period. It was created by Martha Roundtree and Lawrence Spivak as a radio show, believe it or not. Meet the Press moved to broadcast television on November 6, 1947. Our very first guest was James Farley. Now, Farley was the quintessential Washington newsmaker at that time. He was FDR's basically chief political advisor. He was the campaign manager and also the postmaster general during the New Deal, because if you were head of the post office, you could put your political allies all over the country in every zip code in America. And that first show was moderated by Martha Roundtree. She was there in the moderator chair until 1953. Our legacy would not exist without her.
Are you ready to meet the press?
I suppose I'm as ready as I will be.
Since 1947, Meet the Press has been a place for presidents.
Neither I nor the American people would support the sending of an American team to Moscow with Soviet invasion troops in Afghanistan.
First of all, I expected to find the weapons.
Legislators.
The facts are these. China has not met the conditions of the president's order.
I hate the press. I hate you especially. But the fact is, we need you. We need a free press.
Candidates.
So you want to be president?
I do.
I don't know if I were not a woman, if I would be judged in the same way in my candidacy.
World leaders.
I am not communism. I am not agree with communism.
Had they continued, I think we would have had anarchy.
The guests on Meet the Press changed history.
We confront the fact that the Negro is still a victim of glaring and notorious conditions of segregation and discrimination.
Men marrying men, women marrying women, and heterosexual men and women marrying men are entitled to the same exact rights, all the civil rights, all the civil liberties.
Were you bitter in ever?
I was not bitter then. I'm not bitter now.
Since its conception, Meet the Press has featured the very best political journalists.
Through their sharp questioning, Meet the Press has kept you abreast of the news. In fact, it has made news.
Over the course of 75 years, about 3,600 episodes, interviews with 13 presidents and 12 different moderators, one thing has stayed the same.
Because if it is Sunday.
If it's Sunday,
it's Meet the Press.
Well, to help us look at all the ways that Meet the Press has changed over the years and to talk a little bit about where political journalism is going in the future, I'm joined now by Michelle Sindor. She's the moderator of Washington Week. She called us our little partner friend over there at PBS. She's also a Washington correspondent for NBC News. She's seen here in an early appearance on the broadcast. Here's Michael Beschloss. He's our NBC News presidential historian. He's been on the show quite a few times. George Will, syndicated columnist. A staple of all Sunday morning television, not just this one. We'll talk about that. And Betsy Fisher Martin, executive director of the Women in Politics Institute at American University and a former executive producer here at Meet the Press. So, hi.
Hi.
How you doing? Back. All right. It's good to be here.
Happy
good to have you here. That diamond anniversary.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's start our conversation here. We're going to look at the what I think is one of the sort of the treasures of the Meet the Press archive. It's our interviews with world leaders. Here's a taste.
There's been a lot of evidence through the refusal to bring China into the United Nations that it has driven China more into the arms of Russia than would have been the case.
There's no sense of making peace with a weak Israel. A weak Israel can be thrown into the sea.
For a country of India's vast size and great diversity, I think democracy, that is, a people's participation, is the only way to make it function.
Are you saying that the United States, President Bush, and Secretary Baker are ignoring the PLO in this affair?
It is clear that they are ignoring completely the Palestinian people and their leadership.
I always say to
win this war, we need three main things: weaponry, finances, and sanctions.
You know, Michael, before there was CNN, about the only place Americans would see world leaders was at Meet the Press.
That's exactly right. And it was a staple of these visits. As you know, all of you who know this history, John Kennedy, 1961, welcomed the Prime Minister of India, Nehru. And Kennedy is famed, at least in our circles, for having said, you may think it's difficult dealing with me, but you're going on Meet the Press, so you're going to have a rougher experience.
George, where else were you going to see a world leader being interviewed? Because there wasn't really another place that this took place in America.
Exactly. American journalism is sort of pre and after 1980 when CNN came on. And suddenly, if you wanted to see the majority leader, you had to go to Meet the Press. Mm-hmm. After that, if you couldn't avoid seeing the majority leader.
Yeah.
It's deplorable.
Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
But the reputation of the show was such that the world leaders knew if they wanted to have an audience here, this was the place to be. And that the reputation really transcended. And I remember, typing up, you have to type like a formal letter, get it delivered to the embassy, then the embassy would invite the head of state. And it was like a big deal.
It's
swarms of security everywhere. Yeah. I remember being reamed out by the attaché to President Karzai in Afghanistan because Secret Service wouldn't let me go out and say hello and meet him, and they got very offended that nobody was there to greet him on the way in. So lots of fun memories of that.
Yamiche, and it's funny, it's like the world leader discussion is something that I think is sort of, we don't have the same amount of focus on it, and it's always been one of those things that I think people lament that we don't have more focus on this again.
Certainly. And when you think about politics and where we are even today, it's such a worldly place. When you think about inflation, that's a global issue. But a lot of times when I'm out talking to voters, they don't understand maybe at times sort of where America's place is in the world in terms of the economics that we're dealing with. I think of a place like Haiti, where my parents are from. It wasn't until the president was assassinated that Americans said, wait, what's going on in this little island next to us? There's this sense that American journalism sometimes is so focused on sort of America. But when you sort of look at the outside and look at the bigger picture, especially with someone like former President Trump, you couldn't really understand the presidency of former President Trump without understanding the international sort of consequences of that and how other world leaders in other countries saw us.
And I want to bring something else up about, well, because it gets into the criticism that you see in modern journalism, which is, how can you platform so-and-so? It's pretty important to have Yasser Arafat on television, was it not,
Absolutely.
Michael?
Absolutely. And that was the whole idea. It was almost like in the old days, Time magazine would have a man of the year, and it was called man of the year in those days. And Hitler, one year, was the most consequential person of that year. And so the idea of the people who founded Meet the Press, Martha Roundtree, and by the way, we all deserve a huge gold star for having a woman in that job in 1947, which was astounding and groundbreaking. But the whole idea was that Americans lived in a democracy, that they should be exposed to these things and they could make their own choices.
Fidel Castro, a guest on Meet the Press, George. And you make the case, why should American journalists interview dictators?
Because they're there, like Everest.
Yeah.
Sure, I mean, it's fascinating to see. I mean, when Castro came to this country, he gave a lecture at Princeton. Mm-hmm. He held court in a hotel in Harlem. He circulated around Manhattan.
Today, news organizations might get canceled for doing that.
Right. Well, it's funny. I worked with Tim Russert for 17 years, and I remember very often he would be asked, would you ever want to have on Meet the Press? And of course, his top one that he would say he would have loved to go back in time and interview Jesus Christ, of course. But then his
that
next...
That was a big surprise.
Exactly. Right. But then his next...
I think a lot of us would like to...
Exactly.
There's a lot of things we'd like to ask Jesus about.
But the next person he would say was Adolf Hitler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he would always say that these cameras here are the best disinfectant.
Yeah. Yeah.
You put the sunlight on it, and it really hits home.
I've always said my dream guest was Fidel Castro, growing up in Miami.
Exactly.
I'd like to get an hour with him. Let me move to campaigns and elections. Obviously, before cable television, when candidates wanted to reach a national audience, they had to sit for tough questions from the reporters and moderators of Meet the Press. Here's a taste of some of those interviews, starting in 1952 with the Republican nominee for vice president, Richard Nixon.
We are conducting this campaign on the assumption that there is no state that we concede to the opposition, and by the same token, there is no state that we're going to take for granted.
I think the United States is the leader of the free world. It has a great role to play. I don't think it's been playing that role in the 50s, and therefore I think the Democratic Party has an historic function in this 60 election.
There's no way that my campaign would end short of death or inability to function.
Are you running for president?
I am running for president.
Dissent is the mother of assent. And in that context, I have decided to run for president.
Does Sarah Palin and I disagree on a specific issue? Yeah, because we're both mavericks.
In 4 years, you're going to be interviewing me and you're going to say, what a great job you've done, President Trump.
If I get elected president of the United States with my position on health care, my position on global warming, my position on foreign policy, my position on the middle class, this will go down as one of the most progressive administrations in American history.
The long presidential interview, something that I think we all cherish, Betsy. I mean, that is something that candidates fear these days, even though they're such historically important moments.
Yeah. And, you know, having a candidate on to do a 42-minute interview, it became, in a lot of ways, the interview of record,
right,
that people would look back on. You know, they used to call it the Russert primary in many ways, because you would have to come and sit at this table if you were running for president. There were, of course, times where certain candidates wouldn't want to do that. I remember Mitt Romney in 08 was the last of the candidates to ever come. We had this Meet the Candidates series. And Tim, on a weekly basis, would badger at the end of the show, "We're still waiting for Mitt Romney to come." And, like, would not let up on it. Yeah. Because it was something that, you know, a place like Meet the Press, you can have those long-form interviews. And it's something that, you know, you can't get anyplace else.
You know, these days, George, I look at those that agree to a long-form interview as, oh, they're serious.
Yeah.
And those that don't want to sit for it, they're not serious. They just want celebrity.
Yes, but their communications advisors all say don't do it.
Right.
What's the percentage? They want to control what they say. They want to say what they want to say and no more.
Right.
That's the secret of survival on television. And television is, I hate to say it, in this august group, less important than it used to be because of social media, which, by the way, have made all of our campaign finance laws look archaic because the declining utility of the last political dollar goes like that.
Yep.
And the social media is much more efficient.
This gets into the future aspect of this, Michael, which is, you know, where are we going to get presidential candidates to sit down and address uncomfortable topics?
Well, I think the cycle could turn again, because Meet the Press in 1947 was largely a response to the fact that a lot of radio news and radio commentators had very extreme ideologies. Before World War II, the radio priest, Father Coughlin of Michigan, had as many as 30 million people listening to his radio program. He was anti-Semitic. He was fascist. He was in favor of suspending elections. So the idea of the founders of this program was that Meet the Press will be a response to this. It'll be a primary source. Mm-hmm. It'll be a holy place, an all-truth zone. And these things happen in cycles, and I hope that our society gets to the point where we say this is a cherished part of democracy that we need.
You may share at Washington Week, which has also got its own legacy, if you will, and you hear from viewers who say they want more thoughtful conversation. Of course, that's PBS,
yeah,
not cable.
It's true. But there, I think there is this real interest in really understanding who these people are that are running. We are living in this society right now where everything's so clip-based. Everything's kind of the TikTok, almost the TikTok primary at this point. You have candidates who just sort of want to go viral and viral moments. And then you have these moments that are less scripted that could really, in some ways, characterize how someone views a candidate. But I think as someone who's asked hard questions to presidents more than one now, in my short time in journalism, when I think about the 75-year history. But in asking tough questions to candidates, I think it's still what we have to do. We have to strive for what Michael's talking about. I remember driving 3 hours across Michigan trying to get to Tudor Dixon, who's running for governor of Michigan. I think it is still our job to make sure that people who are saying that they want to be leaders of our country, that we ask them the tough questions. And it is getting harder and maybe a little bit less relevant when you think about clips, but it's still, I think, our duty.
Look, before I leave this topic, my first appearance on Meet the Press Betsy made me come on to explain what a blog was. So I'm contractually obligated. I'm contractually obligated to embarrass myself here. So here's that clip.
One of the things that we will find out is just how truly effective is the internet in this presidential race. Here to help us is Chuck Todd of National Journal's Hotline. What is a blog?
Well, blog, just so the actual term itself, by the way, is short for web log. And it's, you drop the W and you get the blog. It's essentially like a digital bulletin board saying, hey, look, this is what we're up to today. This is our message today. These are some of the things we're doing today. And then it allows a section to comment about what's going on during the day.
Ah, the commenters.
Chuck, I have to tell you, I read this on paper and I laughed out loud. I can't believe that watching it just made me feel like, okay, this is why Chuck has me on, because he was once the young kid at the table. And someone really saw something in him, and it's amazing to see how far you've come.
All I know is that my mother is probably going to say, why didn't you get a haircut? One of our responsibilities here at Meet the Press is to hear from those who we might disagree with, who the country may disagree with, who make a living stirring up controversy. The list includes David Duke, in a very important appearance that he made here in a debate. Wisconsin Senator Joe McCarthy, whose anti-communist investigations targeted people in business and government over nothing more than allegations.
I think a private employer should get full information upon anyone in his employ handling secret material for the government as to whether that man is a communist or whether he is merely a common drunk and talks too much.
Joe McCarthy, Michael, was in some ways the first type of politician who tried to use media for his own. I mean, he dangled scoops and all of this stuff. How successful was he exploiting the press?
He was very successful, and that was before the time of social media. He would say, there are 52 communists in the State Department. Oh, I forgot, there are actually 127. And, he would make this stuff up. But he got extremely far and was a tremendously powerful figure in this country, mm-hmm. especially when Dwight Eisenhower mm-hmm. was running in 1952. Not until McCarthy was finally censured mm-hmm. at the end of 1954 did this furor begin to ebb.
If I were ever to pick out the three most important Tim shows.
Yeah. David Duke.
David Duke.
Yeah.
Edwin Edwards debate. Yeah. Because Duke needed to be confronted in a national audience, not in a Louisiana.
Exactly.
Audience.
And it was that disinfectant in the mm-hmm. sunshine. But, that interview was 1991. I remember I had just started as an intern here. I was from New Orleans. So I remember that show vividly. Mm-hmm. Tim was later asked about was there a time that he felt like he crossed the line in sort of the interrogation? And he would tell the story about that particular interview. David Duke was on, and Tim went after him and said, what was it about this country that made you want to become a Nazi? And of course, David Duke was like, I'm here to talk about the economic prosperity of Louisiana and what we're going to be doing about jobs, et cetera. And so then Tim, not scripted, said, okay, sir, well, can you tell us the three biggest employers in the state of Louisiana?
Right.
Clueless. And then Tim kind of went after him. What do you mean you don't know the biggest employers? Aren't you running for governor? Blah, 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 blah. Fast forward, he always talked to his dad after Meet the Press. He called it the cheapest, most reliable focus group, right? And he called his dad, Dad, I felt like I crossed the line there. I went into interrogation mode and I was too tough. And his dad you know what? If you're going to be tough on somebody, it's okay to do it for a Nazi. And he felt better about it.
I'll be okay.
George.
It's interesting that in that clip you just showed where Joe McCarthy said an employer has a right to know if an employee is a common drunk. 3.5 years later, McCarthy's dead from alcoholism.
Mm. Yeah.
And was known for coming on this program inebriated.
And he also came on with a gun one time.
Yes.
That in his lap, yeah. Famous
McCarthy
story.
Did.
Yes.
Oh. The D.C. police
no,
didn't come
no,
and,
deal,
and deal, deal with that one. Yamiche, this show's also hosted Minister Farrakhan. Something that also stirred controversy when it was done. But again, this is about making people understand who these people are.
It's it's absolutely about making people understand who they are. And I think you can't really get a good understanding of these issues in our country, which race continues to be this through line from the beginning of our country up until right now. That is the hard, one of the hardest things to talk about. And having Louis Farrakhan on, having David Duke on, having other people on that espouse views that are extreme, but to really ask them, why do you think this? And to also remember that these people have millions of followers. It's not as if these are sort of people that don't have a stronghold in different societies and different communities. So I think it's absolutely sort of part of Meet the Press's mission is to dig into issues of race. It's why I'm proud to sort of be part of it, because you have to ask these hard questions, and we're dealing with them right now.
We are. This idea that you don't interview people because you're afraid of platforming them, you're never going to expose whatever it is you believe that they're causing if you don't show and tell your work. After the break, Yamiche brought up civil rights. Well, civil rights has been a through line of Meet the Press. Cultural leaders, sports figures have appeared on this show because of that issue. We're going to hear from them in a moment. But before we go to break, one of the celebrities who also happened to be running for president one year, but only in one state, also made a stop on Meet the Press.
I don't want to be president. I want to run for president. There's a difference. I'm running in South Carolina.
You'd like to lose?
I'd like to lose twice. I'd like to lose both a Republican and a Democrat.
And what statement would that make?
I think that statement would make that I was able to get on the ballot in South Carolina. And if I can do it, so can you.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Welcome back. Meet the Press has always been a home for discussions about civil rights. Athletes have been those who have come on the show to speak out about the issue, going back to 1957, when Jackie Robinson appeared on Meet the Press to discuss the lack of progress for Black Americans. Here are some of the legends of baseball, basketball, and soccer who have combined their activism and their athleticism.
There was no identification among Black players with a team. So I think that their baseball needs to show some appreciation to their Black stars.
People have to understand that there are good Muslims that are on the side of what we understand to be the rule of law and just common sense and decency.
Whether it's equal pay or racial equality or LGBTQ rights, I think we've just managed to give people hope. And with that, now we need to do the next step.
Yamiche, we've also... we were talking about some of our archive, some of our most interesting interviews on civil rights, how lost to sort of historical archives on the video front. But it is interesting how sports figures have almost been the best spokespeople, particularly African-American sports figures, to have a race discussion with a national audience.
Certainly, and it's obviously these barrier-breaking sports figures who in some ways have been able to ingratiate themselves into the hearts of Americans who oftentimes have different political views, and it's then that they can sort of speak up about these issues that are harder. So you think of someone like LeBron James, the entire country sort of roots for him, of course, if you're not a Lakers fan, but a lot of people root for LeBron James. He can speak out and say, well, George Floyd should not have been murdered. Mm-hmm. You think about sort of who the sports figures are now. With you had Megan Rapinoe on, talking about the fact that equal play for women shouldn't be a political thing. It should be that you want to see your U.S. women's soccer team, which of course they're champions, be paid equally and be paid their worth. So those, I think, when you see sports figures talking about these hard issues, it softens them a bit and it makes Americans say, well, maybe we do have some things in common.
George, you're probably second best known for your love and historical knowledge of baseball. Look, Black baseball players in the 50s and 60s were perhaps the most important civil rights leaders we had, short of Martin Luther King.
Sure. I mean, if you grew up in Alabama, like Willie Mays or Willie McCovey or Billy Williams or Henry Aaron, there was one way out. It wasn't the NBA and the NFL at that time. We're not right. really on the map.
Right.
And baseball was where the action was.
And, you know, one thing has to be said, and that is at the time that Meet the Press would put on a Jackie Robinson or Martin Luther King, hard as it is to believe in these times, oftentimes Southern affiliates and other people around the country would complain to NBC in New York and would complain to the producers of this program, including Lawrence Spivak.
Right.
And he had a steel spine. He said, this is what this program is for.
You know, it's funny, Tom Brokaw tells those stories because he was basically based in the South during the Civil Rights. How often that he would, that, you know, they would cover this story nationally and then he would hear these complaints from folks all the time. The through line on civil rights and sports feels like it still continues. I mean, we see it with Megan Rapinoe.
Absolutely. And, you know, I remember some of the interviews that we did. It didn't hurt, too, that Tim was a big sports fan. So if there was an opportunity to go to the All-Star game, we were going to do a show from there. But, I mean, you know, we had really interesting interviews with Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, talking about, you know, values and mentoring children and being sort of the big sports figures that they were and what that meant and the responsibility that went along with that. So those were always, it was always fun to actually get out of kind of the Washington, you know, what I used to call Senator Salad around the table, right? And kind of get out and talk to some of these incredible people.
You know, if there is, you know, now we hear from all these folks all the time. And I guess the question is, has it sort of, it's almost harder for one person to have that. They can't find one place to sort of have a big impact anymore. It's collective impact, and it can be, but not one big impact, right, Yamiche?
That's true. I think that it's right that we don't have the sort of big voices that everyone's listening to. I know there's always the question of, like, who's the next Martin Luther King or who's the next person that everyone's going to coalesce around? But we have, instead, these movements. We have the Black Lives Matter movement. You have the Women's March and the consequences of that and the activism that's continued on with that. So in some ways, we're also wrestling with some of the same issues, right? When you think about people telling basketball players to just shut up and dribble. And they say, no, we're Black men, we're Black women. We want to speak up about these issues. I also think as someone who covers race, I hear from viewers sometimes that say, why are you talking about race too much? Why are you covering this? And it's like, because it's the reality of so many people and because it's still a through line and an important part of our politics.
What's interesting now is how people, I didn't get any grief when I had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But if this program had had him on in the 70s, much different story, right? Thank you all. For celebrating.
Happy 75.
Yeah, there you go. I don't feel that old yet. My mother hates, though, the fact that this show was born in 1947 because the year she was born, too. Anyway, before we go, I want to share one more piece of sound from our archives. It is Marvin Kalb's sign off from his last broadcast as the moderator. He may have been speaking in 1987, but his message still carries wisdom with it today.
After 30 years as a network correspondent, I leave with a simple but very strong belief, and that is that our democracy is a very precious national asset that is most healthy, most admirable, when there is an open and vigorous exchange between the press on the one side and the politician and policymaker on the other. That's what this program has been all about. I'm convinced that the freer the press, the stronger, more stable will be this democracy.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.